So what kind of effect will January have on stocks?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hi, I'm Steve Chiatakis. First full day of stock trading for 2010. Let's ask, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now with the S&P 500 up about 1.3%, the NASDAQ 1.5%, and the Dow up about 121 points at 10,549. European shares up an average of about 1% so far, and Asian shares closed mostly higher. The Nikkei was higher with Japan Airlines stock surging by more than 1/3. The government there says it's going to help the struggling airline with some cash. Well, historically, the first few trading days of January have been among the strongest for the stock market. That's when investors tend to add big chunks of new money to retirement accounts. And there's this phenomenon that takes place called the January effect. We're going to learn more about that from Sam Stovall, chief investment strategist at S&P Equity Research. He's with us live from New York. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
All right. What's this January effect and how does it work?
Well, it basically says, as goes January, so goes the year, and therefore usually implying that if the market is up in January, it should do fairly well for the rest of the year. And the track record is very strong. Since World War II, the market has continued to rise 85% of the time and gain about 11.5% in that 11-month period.
All right. So how well did it work last year?
Well, last year it did not work well because not very good at picking market bottoms. So it failed in 2009, it failed in 2003, it failed in 1982. But I think that investors are a lot like dieters. They look to January as a new beginning, and so they might look at them in the mirror and think positively this year.
Does, Sam, the market adjust for this in any way, do you think?
Well, we do think that possibly investors try to get a running start toward the latter part of December, in a sense, buying in before the new year starts. But then again, some investors don't want to be plowing money into mutual funds only to get hit with capital gains and income distributions because they own shares at the end of the calendar year.
It's all about that calendar, right?
So, yes.
All right. Sam Stovall joining us from New York. Sam, thanks.
You're welcome.
The Federal Reserve's been criticized for keeping interest rates low over the past decade. Some say that actually helped fuel the housing bubble. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke offered a detailed defense of the Fed's low interest rates in a speech to economists yesterday in Atlanta. We've got Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer with us live from Washington this morning. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So if low interest rates weren't the problem, what does Mr. Bernanke think caused that housing bubble?
Well, Bernanke says the real problem was lax regulation by the Fed and banking regulators. And he says that allowed banks to issue exotic mortgages to people who probably couldn't pay them back.
However, if adequate reforms are not made, or if they are made but prove insufficient to prevent dangerous buildups of financial risks, we must remain open to using monetary policy as a supplementary tool for addressing those risks.
Now, Bernanke is talking about interest rates. Bernanke says the Fed must be open to higher interest rates if regulation doesn't work and another bubble appears possible.
Now, we've been hearing concerns, Nancy, in the markets about higher interest rates. Do we know when that's likely to happen?
Well, the Fed is scheduled to meet later this month, and it is expected to keep interest rates at a record low, that is near zero. But economists are hoping the Fed will help give them some clues after the meeting about when it will have to raise rates to keep inflation in check.
And this is also a big month for Mr. Bernanke because his term expires at the end of the month. I mean, the Senate still has to vote on whether to confirm him. Is that likely?
Well, yeah, Bernanke is expected to be confirmed by the Senate for a second term, but there's been a lot of very vocal opposition from members of Congress who think he's at least partly to blame for the current economic crisis. And in fact, in the House, a bill was passed that would allow Congress to actually audit the Fed.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joining us from Washington this morning. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Swiss drug giant Novartis wants a majority stake in the U.S. eye care company Alcon. That's an almost $40 billion deal. The world's tallest building opens today. Burj Dubai soars skyward more than 2,600 feet. It is so tall, on a clear day, you can see it from Iran. Now they can just keep all 168 floors occupied.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
There's that old Mark Twain quote, "Quitting smoking is easy. I've done it 1,000 times. Not much has changed for smokers in the century after his death. For those who have made a New Year's resolution to finally put that pack down, there soon may be new hope. Brett Neely reports.
Many smokers use nicotine patches or gum when they try to quit, but you're still using nicotine.
It is the one molecule that creates the addiction.
That's Rafat Fahim. He's the CEO of Nabi Biopharmaceuticals in Maryland. Instead of using an addictive substance to wean smokers, Nabi's scientists started looking at different approaches.
Lo and behold, we actually did find that the body can create antibodies to the nicotine molecule itself.
In other words, Nabi is developing the world's first vaccine against nicotine. Called NicVax, it's currently in advanced clinical trials. Doctors inject the drug to protect smokers from nicotine's addictive effects. Insurance companies will probably pay for the treatment if it gets approved, says pharmaceutical analyst Bob Wasserman.
They want to be able to stop before they have to start paying for heart disease and lung cancer and high blood pressure, the other things that come along with smoking.
Pharma giant GlaxoSmithKline thinks the drug could have blockbuster potential. It's paid Nabi $40 million for the rights to market and sell the vaccine if the FDA approves it. A final decision should come in 2011. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And finally, a lot of people try to quit smoking by being hypnotized. And on this World Hypnotism Day, yes, there is such a thing, there is quite the opportunity for that. London hypnotist Chris Hughes will likely break a world's record by putting thousands of people in a trance on Facebook and Twitter later today at 3:30 Eastern Time. He tells the Independent newspaper it's a way to ensure goal achievement in 2010, one of those perhaps spending less time on Facebook and Twitter. No trances at our website, just the latest business news and links to our podcast, too, available anytime at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.